Greetings in the name of the Lord. A special thanks to Eric for sharing that one voice. Can you imagine when you have that voice joined by thousands and millions and perhaps even billions in heaven? What a beautiful song, the Day of Resurrection. A realistic reason, my friends, that sheep need a shepherd is that they often go astray. Should I say we? It means that we wander, whether on purpose or not, into trouble. And there is a dividing line between verses 1 to 3 in Psalm 23 and verses 4 to 6. It's evident in the text because it shifts from the concept of comfort and nutrition of the green pastures over to the shadows. But it's more. David went from talking about the shepherd to talking with him. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, you prepare, you anoint. It's very personal as it goes into the need for protection and the promise of his presence. In the classic novel, Alice in the Wonderland, Alice comes to a fork in the road and she doesn't know which way to go. A Cheshire cat is there, so she asks him, "Which way should I go?" And the Cheshire cat asks the critical question, "Well, where do you want to go?" And she says, "Oh, it doesn't really matter. Anywhere is fine." And then he said, "Any road will do. It doesn't matter which way you go." And you know, a lot of lives are lived like that, almost in circular fashion. It doesn't matter which road you pick because you really don't know where you're headed. But do you think that's what people want? Sheep want? No, we see our lives in a bigger perspective, but we don't always see the difference between following a road and following the shepherd. In fact, there's more to life than just existing, isn't there? You and I know that we need to follow a person. And when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, I am the gate," we are reminded again that it's his plan that will make the difference. It's his footsteps that we are following. The shepherd's protection is pervasive. That means everywhere. This comes out right away in verse 4. A very famous and familiar, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, there's no need to fear death. And I mean that very seriously, because throughout 40 years of ministry, I've had to look it in the face with people and for myself. This is the thing that frightens us the most. This would be when the sheep are coming down out of the winter upper regions and it's late at night and the shadows seem to distort and twist and turn, and they know that the predators attack in the shadows, in the dark. They know that there can be fangs there. Ask any child of 3 or 4 years of age if there's a monster in the room, and they'll tell you, "Oh, sometimes the sheep were skitterish and afraid of being killed while walking in the valley." But notice what he says is, it's not in the valley, it's through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadows are those things that give an image of something that's behind it, but wherever there is a shadow, there has to be light. And so it's going through the difficult things in life. We look at Jesus, and we know the way. We look at Jesus, and we know that he has removed the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15 is a passage I rely on as a pastor when people have been hurt by death. And I remind them, it's just a sting, it's just a shadow, but there is a new reality beyond. David continues, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, the rod is not as familiar as the staff. The staff is that long, slender crook we always see in a shepherd's hand. The rod was more like a nightstick hanging from the shepherd's belt. It had a heavy head on it, and a good shepherd was very accurate with the throw, or he was going to use it like a club. I guess you would call it like the official outfit of a police officer. Today, maybe a little more fortified with a weapon, but these were the fighting instruments for the shepherd. David knew how to use them. David had defended against bears and lions, and the sheep knew that their shepherd would take care of them, protect them. They found their comfort there. So there's a word for you in the Latin. Come is that which goes along with. We have it in things like compassion or community. And fortis is the word for strong. So with strength. Actually, when you put them together, it's companionship that comes out. Strength through that companionship, because the one who is with them has been the champion over the darkness, over the grave. We know it because we have seen him come back to life again. This is still the season of Easter. But any season is good for the message of Easter. And there's no need to fear enemies. Death, of course, our greatest enemy in a sense, eternal death, which we will avoid by following the shepherd. Enemies, in verse 5, he says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." Now, in the shepherd analogy, this meant that when the shepherd arrived in the upper valley, it was usually a flat mesa of some sort. He went ahead. He would park the whole flock, and then he would walk and look things over. Sometimes he would carry a little lamb or one that was being disciplined with him. He would go and look for poisons. He would look for predators, and eventually he would come back and lead them to the best part where they could have their rest. Jesus said, on the night of betrayal, on the night of his own affliction, he said to the disciples, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And there's no need to fear any problem. In the middle of verse 5, it says, "You anoint my head with oil." If you're just looking at, in general, at a host, during this time of this era and culture, they used oil as a fragrance. People would often come in without being able to shower like we do today, a little bit perhaps perspired, and they would be anointed with oil. It would kind of cover over any of the other fragrances and give a nice dining experience. But it was also a sign of rejoicing. So to be anointed was to be splashed with joy. With the analogy of the sheep, you can look at it a different way. In ancient Israel, shepherds used oil for three purposes. To repel insects. This is what would drive the sheep nuts, is that the larvae actually would get under their wool, and you know what it's like to have chiggers, and it just makes your skin crawl. And then when the flies would come, in addition to it, sometimes the sheep would just wander and then they'd rock back and forth, or their head went up and down because they were in misery. So he would put the oil into their fleece, and that would protect against the insects. A second thing was to prevent injury. I suppose it would be kind of cliche to say that if two guys saw one girl, they would both say, "I want you," E-W-E, and they would go to war. The shepherd knew there was going to be a rumble, and so he would quickly smear the young bucks with oil, and they would glance off instead of crush each other's skulls. Can you imagine? He knew their nature. And then thirdly, beyond the gladiators of the field, he would also use that oil for their wounds. They'd get caught in the brambles, something would tear them on their face or on their leg, and the sores would be covered by his special oil. I think that's really how we look at baptism. We need it. Our children, our grandchildren need baptism, because there's the anointing of God's own gift, the cleansing of the water, and the arrival into the family of God. So we need to trust in the shepherd through the shadows. More than the government, and I'm not saying we don't follow the government. I'm saying we have the highest kind of leadership. In Camden, Maine, the Herald was their local newspaper, and they reported something about the local alderman and town manager. They had two pictures on the same page, one of the government and then one of a flock of sheep. But they crisscrossed and reversed the captions. And so under the caption of the sheep, they had from left to right each of them named according to the alder people. And then when you get to the picture of the sheep, to the picture of the table of the leaders, it said, "The sheepfold, naive and vulnerable, they huddle for security against the uncertainties of the outside world." It feels that way, especially in a time like this when a lot of our leaders and leadership can't agree on what to do. You wonder who's leading. Well, we still know. And in fact, when you can't sleep, talk to the shepherd. Don't count the sheep. So the shepherd's presence is powerful. God gives us more than we could ever imagine. He says, "My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy follow with me." More than we have ever imagined is how Paul put it. And that's because with God, there is so much more. And the tendency today is to think you can only have what you can see and feel and touch. But we know there's more. There's the human soul and the desire for eternity. The other meaning than the sheep isn't just that they would get a drink when they were far away from the streams, which the shepherd would provide, but it's literally kind of a host signal. If the host didn't fill the cup, it kind of meant the stay was over. It's time for you to go home. But in this house, and a way of showing you can stay as long as you want, they would pour the cup full until it ran over. Stay as long as you want. In the Message translation, this is how it translates the word, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life." What a picture. It's there that God's mercy and goodness pursue us. That's what he wants to overtake us. Not harm, not evil, not death, and not enemies, but rather his presence. There's power in the way God went about doing it. He brought it out in the lowliest of forms, as Jesus the shepherd would stand in for the sheep. He would be ridiculed. He would be mocked and abused. He would go to that cross, and there we watch the rod and the staff of God being laid aside so that he could still protect us by taking over death. God is preparing us for whatever we have on the road ahead of us. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We have what we need for eternity. We have the opportunity to come home. And home is where Jesus lives, inside the house. Home is what God has built for us that awaits us, and it's our ultimate destiny. We need to keep that in focus. As Psalm 84 says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." So three quick lamb lessons. One, stay with the flock. I think we can especially appreciate this during a time when it's not possible to worship, because maybe we've been drawn to the conclusion that the church is just an optional thing until you're isolated. And then you realize you desire to be with people. We're designed to be together. And maybe sometimes it's that you need someone to tell you, where's the shepherd? You've gone out. You've maybe gotten a little bit too far away, and you don't know where he's at. But they do, because they've just seen him. Oh, he's over there. That's the community called the congregation. Stay close to the shepherd, secondly. The assurance is that the shepherd is always going to be there with his rod, his staff. He is the protector. But it's more than that. The nearness of the shepherd means you get the best to eat, you get the best place to sleep, and more than that, you get his love and affection. In extreme cases, when a lamb would wander too often, there was a way in which a shepherd would kind of hock them. It was a way of hurting their leg just enough that they couldn't walk. They would limp. And so they would come back to the shepherd, and he would pick them up and carry them. I mean, this is extreme. The shepherds only did it when the life was being threatened by the stubbornness of the sheep. Can you imagine? He wants to keep you close. And why? Because those little lambs, once they had experienced the love and protection, never wandered away from the shepherd again. And follow wherever he leads you. I've often said to people, you need to have a plan and then work the plan. That's just good advice for life. But sometimes we can't see where it's going. Have you ever thought that he has the plan already? He's already ahead of you on the road, and he knows what's coming. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The affliction is momentary. The valley is temporary. But David had a confident determination. He was going to follow his God, even if it meant sometimes he had to come back and admit his sin and be soothed or salved by his Savior, the shepherd. God be with you, even in the tough times, to know how to follow him. He loves you, and he is leading the way into eternity, and surely goodness and mercy will follow us as we begin to dwell forever in the house of God. Amen."